go to Dan. Let's turn the thing on.
It's on.
Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel is one of the first of the minor prophets, so he's right after Ezekiel, a little bit after Ezekiel. I have no idea. I don't even know if it's October.
Today's the 19th.
October 19th, 2011, 7:09.
Okay, Daniel 9, let's go to verse 20.
Verse
20. Now, first of all, the first part of Daniel 9, he's confessing the sins of the people and his own sin. And then in Daniel 20, it says, let's start in verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, or the evening sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now, you got to hear this. The next verse, or the next sentence, really, is the key to everything. Because it says, the angel says to him, at the beginning of thy supplication. He didn't say at the beginning of thy prayer. Now, it took Daniel a long time to be in a state of supplication. And supplication means I am yours without condition. And I've described it before as putting your head in the mouth of a lion. And so at the beginning of thy supplication, when you reach the point where you can say, Father, throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Doesn't matter what you do to me, doesn't matter what happens, I'm yours without condition. That's what supplication is. And that's the rarest thing in the universe. It's like faith. Faith is a dime a dozen. It's the trial of faith that's precious. All right. At the beginning, verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish. Now listen to what is done here. First of all, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, that's the fullness of what Christ did on the cross.
Finish the transgression.
You understand that? Now, weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Now, right there, the commandment came forth.
Where's that
notebook I just had? I just had my notebook. Oh, there it is. I catch all kinds of hell about this little chart.
Why?
Because Harry didn't like my chart-making abilities, and they put it up on the internet like this.
Well, it's better than your cube of
just shut up. Just shut up.
I tell you, that's me. Oh, yeah, that was me. I was trying to help Ronnie with. Oh, you mean his drawing of a cube. You're absolutely right.
Time, space, you know.
Yeah, for a guy who can understand time, space, he can't draw a cube to save his life.
Exactly. Welcome home.
I go to California, I get treated just as badly as I do here.
Excellent news.
That's good to know.
Refreshing.
Yes.
Except a little saltier.
With babes on the beach.
Oh, wait a minute. Ollie's just come back and... Is that the natural color of his hair, or did he dye it?
What? You know what happens out there?
What?
Tom, you see my point?
Yeah.
He looks like he's done something to his
hair. I think he's been out in the sun a lot.
Yeah, he did something, man.
It's an L.A. blonde.
All right, Ollie, we're waiting for the meat here. Well, the meat. Where's the meat?
You look like you got a, you know. I think he got so much sun that his face is a little bit redder. That makes the hair look lighter.
Can you like kick some ass?
Yeah, it's
here
a contrast issue.
No, there's highlights.
Highlights? Highlights is here.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, I'll buy that too.
See,
Patty, will you protect
it's
me?
More blonde than gray now, Nick. See,
from these idiots.
Look at this angle. See this angle?
I don't have the reference, but the beginning of the commandment is a specific time in Jeremiah, and I don't have it in front of me. It's okay. It's a specific year in Jeremiah. Now, what it is, it's the 70 weeks or 70 weeks of years. So it's 490 years. Now, 480 of the, well, let's go on.
70.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. Okay, in the spring of AD 26, that's when that was. Messiah is on earth, observes the law and the covenant for 7 more years. He confirms it for 1 week. Then in the beginning of the week, the 3.5 years... In autumn of AD 29, Christ offers himself for sins on the Day of Atonement. He causes the typical sacrifice and oblation to cease in God's sight at his baptism, because that prefigured his death. Then exactly 3.5 years later, in the autumn, in the spring of AD 33, the sacrifice was consummated and it's done. The crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Okay.
That's interesting. So that you told.
So let's read this. Let's read it. Now the wall was finished. The temple of Herod's temple took 46 years to build, and it was finished in this at this point. In 483 years later, and then there's 7 more years. The wall was finished, and that's the beginning of this prophecy. So I'm going to pass this around so you can see it. But I'll get another one up to pass that way.
All right. I always love the fact that when Peter asked him, how many times shall I forgive? 70 times 7. I just love that, too. Must have had
a... So you can just take a look at that.
And the Jews.
The Jews knew this.
They knew everything. They knew that the Messiah was coming, but and they were looking for
right. And they all were, the rich Jews moved back from all over the world, and that's why they established these two cities that were like the Highland Park of Jerusalem. There was Bethany and Bethpage, and that's where the people like Mark's family lived there, Mark, and they had a big estate. This was an estate that the upper room was big enough to hold 120 people. So, I mean, it's an estate.
And a jubilee year, right?
And a jubilee year. So, and Barnabas was Mark's cousin. He and his family, his parents moved at the same time, and they lived right near there. More than likely, Lazarus was one of them that moved back. And so they all, you know, once one of the families started talking about this 70th week was up. Then they all tried to, as much as they could, they moved back to Jerusalem to be there for not just the Jubilee year to get their land back, but for Messiah.
And also be yuppies.
Well, didn't we just study in the mornings, too, a couple of weeks ago, that Mary Magdalene was Lazarus' sister, perhaps?
Yeah, right? That's what I think. Yeah. All right. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now, what does it mean? After 62 weeks, that's when he was baptized. You understand? No. But not for himself. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and their end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And he did that at his baptism. Its typical meaning was over because he, the perfect sacrifice, was buried in baptism. And then 3.5 years later, it was in actuality. And all that was done so that it kept giving more and more mercy and grace and time for people to repent. But instead of repenting, they crucified him. Now, then he gave them 40 more years. He gave them 37 more years until AD 70 when the temple was destroyed to repent.
It was AD 70?
AD 70 was when the temple was destroyed. Not one stone was left standing.
I thought he was actually born in 4 BC and then died in 29.
No.
No? Okay.
Now, the biggest. Now, I want you to remember something. We looked at the last time we studied. The pyramid predicted those dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It predicted the date of his baptism, his birth, and his death. That's pretty amazing. And those dates agree with those dates. Well, I didn't know about the pyramid when I made up those, when I didn't make them up, when I figured out those dates. So does that answer the 7 years?
Yeah.
That's not in Revelation. This is the fulfillment
of Daniel.
Now this is what, you can take one of those copies with you. We'll take it with us to show the German. But in the
meantime, I keep saying the old military. I like the copy of this, obviously, but I'll leave it here for now.
No, you can copy that.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Right now. And in that case, we'll leave it here and make copies.
Okay. If you want, I could make a slide out of the computer slide, clean up the writing a little bit.
He wants to clean up my writing now. I'm getting insulted everywhere.
This is fine with me.
We'll make a carbon copy.
Yeah, this needs to be polished up.
Well,
oh
my God. See, I didn't say
for?
That.
Well, why do you need to polish it up?
Tom, we'll just make me
when my name goes on the bottom of it later.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's not your handwriting. That's what it is.
No, no. I met this artist in California.
A different kind of artist than you.
Yeah, no, she's an artist.
And she, as opposed to a con artist.
And she's really, her painting, she's from Russia. And I just met her. I said she had a good-looking dog. And she's the one who took me to the airport today, along with, anyway.
See how it works?
I gave her a bunch of this information. I talked to her over and over and over again. She wants to use, each of her paintings has panel of stuff about what the painting was about. And so she's going to use a bunch of this stuff in her paintings, so you can try to copy it if you want. You can get sued by her.
She can sue me, she can't get nothing.
All right, does that answer your question?
Okay, and then one more question.
All right.
Can we go to Revelation 12:10?
Okay. I just studied Revelation 12 with a group in California. All right, what would you like to know? Okay. And I heard a loud voice saying.
Yeah, Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now has come salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And the way I read that, Ole, and I thought, the accuser can't come before God anymore and accuse me of anything.
No, only your mind can confuse yourself.
Only my mind can confuse myself. The accuser's been cast down. He's gone. No longer go before God.
Satan's defeated. He has no more power.
Okay.
But you know,
this is now. This is now. It's not in the future. It's now.
No, it already happened. He was cast down at the cross.
Amen. That's why.
No, the Satan was defeated at the cross. We studied that when we studied the stars. He was defeated at the cross, and we looked at all. Let's go to Hebrews 3. That's not it. Anyway, it says in 20 places that Satan is defeated.
Amen.
Now, what's going on? Let me find it before I say where to go. Somebody talk while I'm looking this up. Remember we studied this. We studied that the strong man has to be defeated.
Amen. And
look. Somebody that's got that kind of secret stuff on your little machines, look up where it says strong man.
All right. Word search.
What I've always wondered is if Satan was defeated, and I read someplace, I understand that Satan has the power of death. And I've wondered, why is there still death if Satan's been defeated?
Because he's defeated.
Well,
Just a minute. But he doesn't have the power of death because you're already dead. Can you understand that? You died at the cross.
Yeah.
Amen.
But this physical soul that we inhabit, it's still...
It's already dead.
Well...
The human race died in the cross.
Yeah.
The only one that you're dealing with in that is the evil one. The only enemy of God in time and space is your mind and your emotions.
Only that's why Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Amen. You must be born, and again is the wrong word. It's you must, what it really says, if you want to know the interesting truth of that, you must be born again. It says, you must be born from the first estate. You must have been born from the beginning of the beginnings. In other words, you must be born from above, where there is no beginning.
Matthew 12:29, strong man.
I was right there. All right, let's go there. Matthew 12, starting verse 25. And this is critical. This is specifically to Nick, because Nick is always talking about he's bad, but blah, blah, blah. I want to show you what double-minded and divided house is. All right?
Yes.
Everybody there?
12:29?
12:25.
Oh, 25, okay.
The word strong man is in 12:29, but we've got to get the context, okay? And Jesus, let's go to verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall be your they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now, the strong man's house, if you still have your own identity, is you. The evil one's house is you. Satan's house is you. But you couldn't have defeated him unless Christ had been born again in you. You couldn't have defeated this thing because you couldn't repent. Because if you don't have another life within you, then you can say, "I'm sorry, I did something," but you can't abandon yourself, because you'd be abandoning yourself to nothing. Now you are abandoning yourself, taking no thought for yourself, because his life is revealed automatically then. So the strong man's house is capable of being won over because the strong man has been defeated.
You know, the one thing that you said that I've never heard you say before was that even salvation is in and of and through him. I mean, it's not like I'm saved. He's saved, and that I'm dead, and in him,
that's revealed. So your vessel, then, is holy, because it's containing the thing that it's supposed to contain.
Yes. But it's not like Nick is saved, independent of, I mean, the work on the cross is great, but I'm saved independent of the work on the cross, which is what, for the most part, everybody believes.
No, that's...
I know it's Holcomb, but I mean...
Okay. I had a question, and it's one thing that I wondered about. How is it that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's wasn't?
Well, that's a good question. Let's go first to 1 John chapter 3.
1 John 3.
That's a great question. Starting in verse 11. That's the thing that I had to get over, that there was no such a thing as a dumb question or bad questions. The questions, no matter what they are better than the answer. You got there, 1 John 3? Okay, verse 11. "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Now, let's go to Genesis 4. Conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. But Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. But that's not what it says. It says the sin offering lieth at the door to cover that mistake. The sin, the word for sin there, is really the word for sin offering. Unto thee shalt do swell, and lieth at, the sin offering lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Okay, now what happened? What Cain did is what everybody does. You dig around in this flesh and try to find an offering or try to behave in a way that's acceptable unto God. You can't do it because you're just digging around in the dirt, trying to get up something, trying to do something right. It can't happen. Abel saw Christ in the sheep and saw his crucifixion and saw that as the offering. And so he was the first one. Abel was the first member of the church because he saw Christ in the sheep.
But the sheep is also not... Cain's hand was the hand that was tilling the soil and growing the...
Right, so that's what everybody does. It's right. Your own hand that's running around trying to... You understand it? You understand the answer?
We're dirt. We're dirt.
Right. You're
and
dirt.
We're trying to offer God dirt.
Right.
And stuff that comes from dirt.
Right. And you only require that there's no redemption without blood.
Only the fact is you don't, it's fairly accurate to say you are the fruit of the fall. You are the fruit of the fall.
Amen.
It's also kind of the anti of the ant and the grasshopper story because Cain worked hard.
What are you talking about, the ant and the grasshopper? What the hell is that?
I've never heard that story.
You've never heard the story of the ant and the grasshopper? I'm sorry, I thought everybody knew
that. The ant works hard.
Yeah, and the grasshopper wheels around all day and takes it easy, and the winter comes along, and the ant's got something stored up and can live, and the grasshopper dies.
That's supposed to be
so
make
the
you work
story
hard.
Mean?
Of course. I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. It's the opposite of the ant and the grasshopper story, because Cain worked hard, and Abel just watched the lambs grow.
No, the whole point, I hear that. Harry used to do that to me all the time. Oh, this is what I learned in this song. Oh, this old thing, this old sot saying, this is what, blah, blah. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
However, lamb is not, you can't grow a lamb. I mean, the lamb isn't the work of your hands, right?
Right.
But Cain, did Cain... He toiled and he labored, and still it was futile.
Not meant nothing.
But he did curse the ground. God cursed the ground and said out of their sweat they were going to live, right? To work the ground. So the ground was cursed, right? Or am I wrong?
It's in there, yeah.
But the point of it is, it's that bring it to today, don't try to... The only offering that's acceptable unto God isn't $1,000 so you can get a hundredfold back. The only offering acceptable unto God is you presenting him, Christ, up to him. The Christ in you. Not some harebrained amount of money or something. I mean, it's... Christ is the only acceptable offering, ever and always.
Amen.
Yeah, I guess it's the same as he prefers... Well, okay, then how is it he prefers obedience over sacrifice?
Well, obedience, again, let's go to Isaiah chapter, I think around 60-something or other. Let's go to 66. Is that anybody there?
Yeah, one verse?
One. If I don't say a verse, it's always one. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is if he slew a man. In other words, killeth an ox for sacrifice. And this is, but God told him to. That's what the ministry is here. I'll explain that in a minute. He that killeth an ox is if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck and softened it. He that offered any kind of sacrifice as if he offered swine blood. He that burneth incense is as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their own abominations. I will also choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Now the point of the sacrifices, the only point of the sacrifices, was they were a parable of Christ. And those that saw that, whether it was Abraham or Abel or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or all the rest of them, millions that we don't know about, then that they saw that they were accepted because they saw his day and were glad. And that's why people can't understand. They think there's a different thing going on before Christ than there is after Christ. No. It's the same. It's always been Christ. Go to 2 Timothy, chapter something or other. It's not where it's supposed to be.
I rewrote the Bible while you weren't looking.
Well, it was the ant and the grasshopper.
Yeah, probably.
Well, the tortoise in the head.
Oh, it isn't. It is 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Start in verse 10. This is coming. This is his second. This is to help Timothy. This is the last letter Paul wrote. And Timothy was his beloved disciple. All right. Verse 10. Well, let's start in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, incontinent doesn't mean you crap in your pants. It means that you don't have any self-control. But it also, in English, it means, you know.
Do you need a Kleenex?
No.
Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away.
A form of godliness.
Hey, they're Christians. Remember, this Bible is written to believers. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these do resist the truth, even men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the faith, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for righteousness, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now remember, this was written many years before there was any New Testament. So the Scripture they're talking about isn't even the prophets, or isn't even, there's only one word that they use Holy Scripture for, and that was the Torah. Paul would have gone crazy to think that his writings were on the same level as the Torah, or even more so. But everything you need to know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Also, to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's talking about the first five books. It's always been that. He's always been anyone that came to the end of themselves and didn't try to, you know, it's always been, you know, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. You found the life of your own hand, therefore you're not grieved.
Like Cain.
Yeah, we just had an officer kill himself because he was so, I guess, despondent.
Just recently?
Sunday.
Oh, wow, I didn't know about that.
This young sergeant.
Did you know which division he was in?
She knew him.
Northwest. He's like in his mid-30s.
Well, anyway, do you see that there's no difference? God doesn't become a different God. It wasn't an Old Testament God and a New Testament God.
Right.
The Old Testament has got far more revelation of Christ in it than the New Testament does. Anybody, any other questions?
Do you have a question?
Yeah, you know, another one about the strong man in Mark chapter 3. It's another reference to strong man, but it also, this is the unpardonable sin or the unforgivable sin. Or I was wondering if the Pharisees committed.
Where are you?
Mark chapter 3, 23 through 30. Mark chapter 3, 23.
It starts in 22.
Right. The scribes.
And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And when he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? This is the same.
Right, but it goes on about, you're right.
Yeah, it says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies whatsoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of the eternal damnation. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Now, what does that mean? What is the unpardonable sin? And when is it realized?
It's not just making the Holy Spirit your enemy.
No, the unpardonable sin is not believing in the Messiah, even after being told about him after death.
So did the Pharisees indeed, well, not just the Pharisees.
You don't know.
So that's what blasphemy is, not believing
in Christ. Not believing in Christ. Remember the Holy Spirit when he has come, three things. And this is in John 16. Holy Spirit, when he has come, he'll do three things. He'll convict the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. You got to hear this. This, if you can understand these, what he's saying right here, it'll blow your mind. You don't have any more problems. He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because of what they do and they don't, blah, blah, blah. No. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Then it says, so, I mean, God's not interested in whether you do what. He doesn't even see the crap. I mean, we don't do these things because we don't want to offend believers. But the flesh doesn't, you know, the flesh isn't being tested. No. That's why you have to live in community. Because otherwise, if you don't have a body of people that I mean, you'll go off on all kinds of tangents. Like, you know, somebody be dumb enough to make Nick Avello the Archbishop of Trinity.
Uh-huh. I have to get your hat.
Yeah, I have to get the hat and the whole bit.
Why do I pick on Nick so much?
Huh? Easy picking.
See, where's a big target that says, shoot me, you know, here.
Tom, I could see myself as an Archbishop.
You see, I put a target on me too, but I never take it quite to the level you
do.
But
I play one on TV.
I always go to bed and think, I was made to lead. You know, I'm not a cook or a sergeant. I was made to lead thousands of men in the battle.
Barnum and Bailey and Benny and Kenny and Nicky.
And Robert.
Bobby.
Are we done for the night?
How
then?
Do you put up with him?
Oh, I don't see him much. I mean, every
small
now
blessings.
And then we'll
small blessings.
Run into each other.
Oh, yeah, that's true, though. Small blessing. I see enough for one woman.
Anyway, let's go. Let's finish this. I'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. That's the only sin from God's standpoint. And it's the unforgivable sin if it's done after, when they, remember he's speaking to them after they're dead? And they still don't. Then that can't be forgiven. Now that, they'll kill
how
you for sin.
Not,
what?
How can you not believe?
There's a lot.
Okay, number two. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Now, if anybody thinks they're righteous, let them equal that. There is no self-righteousness. You're a fool if you think you're right about anything.
What is the righteousness of Christ?
He went to his Father. That's what it says. Of righteousness, because I've gone to the Father. But if you say, well, I'm not being righteous, I'm putting on the righteousness of Christ. No, no, you're not, because Christ wouldn't have ever said that. The moment you proclaim yourself righteous, then you've lost the battle.
Amen, yeah, amen, amen.
It's like proclaiming yourself humble.
Proclaiming yourself Archbishop.
Well,
what does Archbishop have to do with humility? Nothing. Nothing.
Obviously.
Simply an office that needed to be filled.
Now, you should have seen the married couples out there that, I told them that every problem was a man, and the marriage was a man's fault.
You can't lay those things on somebody without a little preparation, only.
Oh, yes, you can. Anyway, of righteousness because I'm on my Father. Judgment. This is the only thing you can judge anybody for. If it doesn't equal this, the prince of the world has been judged already.
Amen.
That's all the Holy Spirit's doing, convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But the only thing he's doing is in that context is revealing Christ. He doesn't do little tricks, and you know, he doesn't provide anointing.
Hocus pocus.
Hocus pocus. And anyway, anything? Any other questions? Everybody understand perfectly.
Yes,
better than usual.
Good.
Yeah, I even got the
what?
The thing that you asked at the end.
What?
C.S. Lewis kind of went over it. Not that Oldie would have read that, or he would approve of it if he did, but he basically said that if there's something you're hanging on to that you can't let go of it, that's the answer to the question you asked at the end, you know. There's something so important you can't let it go.
I wonder if when people say, well, pray for me because I'm going to be doing this or doing that, the only thing that came to me was, your will be done on earth.
That's fine.
Or not on earth, in earth. Your will be done in earth.
Well, the God already knows. You know, the only thing, the reason he wants you to pray, and he brought you to pray for each other, you don't have to go into big, long arguments and discussions about what Susie has, hangnails and acne and bad breath, and just pray for Susie. Or pray for this person. Pray for that person.
So when they ask you to pray for them,
I pray for people all the time. I pray for healing. I pray for people that understand. I pray that their problems will be resolved. I pray that they'll have financial means to live well, or to, you know, to get by. I mean, you pray for whatever's there. You don't question it. You can't pray wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You're not gonna offend anybody. I mean, I tell atheists I'm praying for them, and they thank me. You seem troubled by that.
Well, because you're asking for something.
It doesn't matter. That's not your business.
Oh, okay. So I
even
can
if
ask.
You can ask. It doesn't matter.
It's okay.
It'll be worked out in its own thing. if you want something, or if you want to pray for something, God knows it before you do.
Yeah.
So just ask for it. If you don't get it, then you got your answer. It's real simple. Don't ever think, well, I shouldn't. I want that, but I shouldn't. You never resist evil. You affirm Jesus. And that's a huge difference, because whatever you resist, you empower.
Say that again. Please.
You never resist evil, you affirm Christ. Because whatever you resist, you empower. You understand that?
No, yeah, that's well put. It's like Pat got a book in the mail by Dr. Brown. What's the name of the book? Something about spiritual warfare. And she said, what do you think about this? I said, honey, I'm not going to debate anything with you because I don't. But my spiritual warfare is over.
Yeah, it's over. The warfare is over. Yeah. These idiots that are making $1 million writing books on spiritual warfare and how to be a successful Christian, they're idiots.
I gotta admit, I leave you with a good thought. Yeah, that's awesome, though. You never resist evil, you affirm Jesus. That's true.
That's all you ever do.
Holy, you may be a real prick and pain in the ass half the time, but you come up and say some of the best things that are true.
Hey. That's your welcome home.
I'm exhausted.
Come here, Orlando. I need a hug. I need a halalo hug.
Oh, I love you.
Thank you. And I need a Sandra hug.
Tom, you're a good egg.
And I need a Patty hug.
I'm a good egg.
Hey, my brother.
11:05, huh?
What?